the little I understand of this poem, I will try to explain. He speaks about the condition that the Muslim Ummah finds itself every now and again. Whenever Allah Tabarak Ta'ala has given the enemies of Islam what we will call the upper hand, it has happened in the past, in the far past, in the near past, but Islam has never been defeated. And we are already seeing the rise of Islam again. Islam's rise starts and the battle starts. Otherwise, Muslims were being killed every few days when they post that number, but now it has gone to 70,000, 80,000, 90,000. That's a very big number. But if someone has to ask how many Muslims were killed before this, in so many wars, the numbers go into the millions. The Khilafat of the Ottomans was far and wide. It went deep into the European lands. And today if you go there, you will see a masjid there. You will know once upon a time. Once upon a time, this thing was thriving with Muslims. Not a single Muslim. So when jihad starts, there's definitely a lot of blood, but the flags of Islam have always risen with jihad. Otherwise, death, the enemy continue murdering the people of Iman. Sometimes they find it very easy to murder. They entered into Palestine when Israel was just established. Villages and villages. It went into the millions. No one was ready to fight. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala then blessed the people with that shock. You get the first Jil, it is called. Jil generation. The first generation because they had forgotten how to fight. And you don't blame them. It's like how me and you. We grew up in a land of aman, ease, peace. So naturally when the environment is not there, you're not going to go learn anything. But then when someone goes through some difficulty, he wakes up. There's a robbery in the house. The person says, I need to change. I need to learn how to defend myself. I need to do something. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala brings upon conditions on the Muslim Ummah to create the next generation. So the first generation, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala blessed them with Shahada, but they were unable to fight. They got Shahada, but they could not defend themselves. The second generation started fighting. Many of them passed away. Many of them passed away in the prisons. They were not able to see the results of their fights. But their children remember that my father died fighting. When that child, and that's the generation the world is seeing today. The generation that the world is seeing today is a generation who were born knowing you will have to fight for the freedom of Islam. That your life means nothing. Your wife means nothing. Your husband needs nothing. Your child means nothing. The children who are there today, if they have to ever speak of a hero, they will just say, my father. For them, they don't need to look in the books of history. Me and you, when we will have to give a story of a hero in Islam, we'll have to go back in the years. You will say, what he did, what he did. When you will meet these children, you ask them, who's a hero in Islam? You say, my father. Everyone's father is a hero. And a hero's son becomes a double hero. The Jil, the generation that we're seeing today. So the poet at that time, seeing the condition of the Muslim Ummah, he complains. He complains with this, Ya Rasulullah. Ya Rasulullah doesn't mean that Rasulullah is hearing us. In poetry, a lot of times you speak to the moon also. And when we know that the message of this Ummah reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so the poet, when he cries, he says, O Nabi of Allah. And he's desirous that his message reaches. Or perhaps in Medina Munawwara, that would be the best place to cry. Many scholars on Islam, when things were not going right in their life, then they wrote poems complaining to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That complaint was like, if anyone can now intercede on my behalf, if anyone can ask Almighty Allah to turn the things, said, I complain to you. He said, O Rasulullah, O our master, our guide, we will never allow لَنَّدْعَ الْغَرْبَ يُدَنِّسُنَا. We will never allow the Western world to make us dirty. We will never allow the Western world to make us dirty. لَن نَرَضَى أَبَدًا ذِلَّتَنَا. We will never ever be happy with the way we are being disgraced. O Nabi of Allah, we will stand up against this. He said, a day will come when we will break, the chains that they have put over us, the chains of our problems and difficulties. And on that day, you will see us again knocking at the forts of our enemies. وَنَدُكُّ حُسُونَ أَعَادِينَ. On that day, you will see us at the moment the enemy are coming within us. And they are making us into pieces. Muslim fighting Muslim. The enemy are within us. He said, on that day, you will see us in the center of the enemy. We will be making them into pieces. And the day will definitely come. He says, O Rasulullah, O our beloved master, we will never allow the Western world to continue making us dirty. We will never be happy with our disgrace, Ya Rasulullah. Then he speaks to the Western world. He said, I cannot understand. كَيْفَ تَجَرَّأْتُمْ وَتَمَادَيْتُمْ بِعَدَاوَتِنَا. That what has given you so much of boldness? What has made you so bold in being our enemy? He says, we cannot understand how you have decided to be so bold, to walk the path going right up to the Rasul of Allah. Meaning as though you want to fight with him also. He said, whoever tried it in the past, شُلَّتْ أَيْدٍ بِتَمَادِيهَا. Whoever in the past tried it, they became crippled. Their graves were dug. What they thought they're going to do, they targeted the Nabi of Allah and they became the targets. He says, it will not happen. And he says, O Gharb, O the Western world, اِعْتَبِرُوا بِمَا دِينَا. Why don't you take lesson from our past? كَمْ دَسْنَا رُؤُوسَ أَعَادِينَا. كَمْ دُسْنَا. How many heads of our enemies we buried in the sand. وَسَنَمْضِ الْيَوْمَ كَمَاضِينَا. He says, and today we are now going to walk on the path like how we walked on it yesterday. And we will do this only لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ, for the Nabi of Allah. And those people who are fighting, indeed, whoever was the poet is the poet, but they are people living up to it. That today they are walking the path just like how yesterday people walked it. لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ. When you will think of the wars that took place in the past, a time had come where people's lives were only for the deen of Allah. Only. When we visited Turkey and we had the chance to see the what is known as the victory of the Muslims in Constantinople, Muhammad al-Fatih. So finally Allah Ta'ala made it that one, they were looking for a hole to come in the fort. One break in the wall. So that somehow someone could get in the fort, couple of people, and they could turn the armies away from the walls. Then others would climb over the walls, others would start entering. But once that wall broke, before the enemies could manage to secure and close up that, he needed people to be ready to run into that wall. Now obviously with the breaking of the wall, all the soldiers who are inside, at least 300, 400, 500, they will turn their attention to one hole. So you have 500 on one side making sure no one is coming through. And then he makes an announcement who will give their life. So what they explain is it was like a competition. The people were racing who will be the first to enter through it. When normally you'll say, you go first, I'll come second. I want to live to see the victory. He said, people raced through that. So the arrows that were hitting the first person, he wasn't screaming in pain, he was screaming in happiness. As he was running, he was just taking arrows. But he couldn't fall backwards with the arrows because behind him he got so many others. So he became a shield for so many soldiers. Because one person can get hit with arrows. The people behind can't. And he gave his life, he's happy, arrow after arrow hitting him. They had that fur, they had that But the arrow is hitting you, it's hitting you, and you're going more into it. And as he's going, he's not stopping and say, I can't manage. He just needs to get to that. And finally, when he falls, there's another one who becomes a shield. And he's trampled by his own soldiers. But he's not worried about it, and they're not worried also. Because he's already given his life for Allah. So he's not going to say, don't trample me. He doesn't want to be a barrier in the conquest. He just needs to get in. And that whole army just running. It is something that you can't imagine. That was the Mahdi. People who were ready from the beginning that my life is just for the conquest. Just for Allah. Li Rasulillah. Finally, the one person now gets in. And he needs to take the flag to a high point. To show we won. But normally, if we have to get in, we'll need to say, I must live till the ending. For him, it had nothing to do with living. This flag has to get to the top. And as he's moving, now he's already into the fort, and it's arrow after arrow after arrow hitting him. When the arrow comes, carries on moving, another arrow hits him, he falls, he stands up again, he has to climb. As he's climbing, arrows are hitting him behind. As he's coming, imagine a man being shot with arrows from all sides, and he's still got his sword where he's fighting with someone. And that person is trying to stop him, he's hitting that person, fighting, another arrow hitting him. But he wants to get the arrow to the flag to a certain place. So the train station, one part of that day when you were in the train, the tram, it reaches one point. That village or that town is named after this person. He named it after. His maqsad purpose was not to live. He just needed to get that. And he got it. He got it, and as he placed it for him, I'm so happy I got it. And that's where he passed on. When they found him, his hand was still on that flag, like I'm not leaving the flag. He placed it. His purpose was that. So we used to read about it in the past, but we knew a time will come where the world will see it again. At the moment, martyrdom is in the big numbers, very big numbers. It was always there, but very few were fighting. People were being martyred. In the millions, people were martyred. But when the fight has started today, he says, Ya Gharb, O the Western world, Sayasta'ukum Noorun, Qad Ashraqa, a light that has already risen is very soon going to cover all of you. Layyabakal Islamu Sajina, Islam will never remain as a captive in a jail. Ya Rasulullah. Allah Tawarakala allow that day to come. We are able to see the flags, and it is not very far. Definitely when those days come, there will be difficulties. But those people who made the maqsad of their life, that the flag of Islam must be lifted, at that time when the opportunity comes, they will definitely say, for this reason I was created. A woman in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she was amongst the very few who were there when the first pledge was being taken. He was in Makkah Mukarramah. They met Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the place of Mina. They pledged, come over, come over. And then Abbas radiallahu anhu said, he comes over. Do you know all the Arabs will shoot you with one arrow? Meaning from one bow, they'll all unite against you. Are you ready for it? They said to Abbas radiallahu anhu that we don't want to be disrespectful to you. But they said, O Nabi of Allah, if you allow us to answer, we'll answer. But we don't want to be disrespectful. This is your uncle. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, answer. And the answer they gave, the first thing is that maybe you protected him, but you never protected him with your lives, with your wives, with your wealth, with everything so he could spread the deen of Allah. You have protected him only so he cannot be harmed. Said, he will come over. We will put our families, our children, our wife, our everything in front. He said, that's a very big claim when the time comes. In this group had a few women. They also pledged. Then there were some young children. A woman said to her young children, pledge allegiance. They said, on what? What are we going to do? She said, you all also pledge allegiance. They were amongst the first who pledged allegiance. So from among the children that pledged allegiance, one Allah Tabarakallah gave him martyrdom at the hands of what was known as the liar, Musaylama. At the end of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made a claim. He was a leader. So he sends a message to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'll bring my whole clan, and you know my clan. I'll bring my whole clan to accept your religion. All you must do is you must write that on your demise, then I'll be the next in charge. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never said yes, he never said no. He said the matter is to Allah. And Allah will give it to whoever he wants. Usaylama was not happy with that answer. He made a claim to his people, I am the Nabi of Allah. And then he started doing a lot of, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent the Sahabi to go, to give him a warning. So when he came there, there was a law normally, a messenger, ambassador, you don't harm. But he cut this boy into pieces. He cut him. And on every limb as he was cutting, he was saying to this child, now he was obviously of age, but still a young boy, saying to this youngster, that do you testify I am the Rasul of Allah? And every time the youngster is saying, I can't hear what you're saying. What you're saying? And again he cuts another limb. What were they? And he passed away in that condition of bleeding from everywhere. So normally you won't tell a mother what happened to your son. But when the news reached her, two things she said. That I make dua that I must not die until I myself take part in the attack against this man. And that dua was accepted. Allah Tabarakallah made her see his death in front of her. She was part of the attack on his form. It was a very hard attack. And as he said, are you not feeling bad about your child? Like how he was cut? So then she said that unique sentence of hers. She said, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا الْيَوْمِ أَعْدَدْتُ That I prepared him from the beginning for a day like this. I prepared him from the beginning for a day like this. So today when it happened, I'm not going to cry and say, what happened? I'll say, that's what I wanted. The people in that land, many of them, when the news of Shahada comes, that's the answer. And when the child was born, like how we will say, you'll be a doctor, you'll be an engineer. In those lands, when the child is born, they look at the child and they'll say, maybe you will be the conqueror or you will be the one fighting for the conquest. That Ghazian or Shahidan became a name in the Ottoman Empire. It's coming back again. That in life, I only got one of two purposes. To be a fighter for Allah and a martyr for Allah. Ghazian, I must return victorious, or I must be a martyr. There's no in between. Because they set Ghazian O Shaheedan, Ghazian O Shaheedan. Allah Tabarakallah has brought that time, what we're seeing in the news. Many people see it as very sad times. It is with the blood of the martyrs that Allah Tabarakallah opens up the doors of Hidayah. The surah Alam Tara Kayfa Fa'ala Rabbuka Bi Ashabil Fil. The surah also speaks about that there will be a time when the people will feel there is no way Islam is ever going to defeat the enemy. Which Allah Tabarakallah says a time comes where the believers, they even say Mata Nasrullah. That now, when is the help of Allah coming? Asa ayyakuna qariba. And Allah Tabarakallah says, it might not be very long. It might not be very long. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Did you not see how your Allah dealt with the people of the elephant? Elephant was referring to the biggest military power in that era. So you had some people on horse, some on donkey, some on foot. Some had camels, very few had camels. And in front of all of them, you have an elephant. Abraha was the governor of Yemen on behalf of the people of Abyssinia. It was a very long incident. They wanted the Arab route, the trade route. And to get the route, they made a lot of stories. Finally, they instigated the Arabs. They started telling the people, stop going to the Kaaba. They wanted the Arabs to get upset. Then in Yemen, they build a house. And they say, from now on, don't go to the Kaaba, very far. You rather come to Yemen entertainment, and at the same time, we'll give you a Kaaba. And they even called it a Kaaba. This naturally was going to make the Arabs irritated. They wanted it to happen, because they wanted a war to start. And that's exactly what happens in the world today. They want the wars. The only thing is, like how Abraha wanted the war, But he never expected what the result was. He never expected. Many of these times when people ask when the war starts, that is why when the war starts, we don't talk too much. Many a time when the war starts, we see the enemy behind it. We see the enemy behind it. The war on terror started 9/11. Whoever wanted to look deep would have seen the enemy was behind this. They collapsed their own buildings. Yes, they will definitely pay up a couple of Muslims. That Muslim is so sincere but so ignorant. Someone pays him. Tells him, you will do this, you will do this. He doesn't even think, how come I'm not getting caught? Maybe they told him, read, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِينَ. He's reading it. So he's sitting in America and ordering online. Online he's ordering. This material, that material, that material. Then 9/11 happens. After 9/11 happens, it comes to the court that he was ordering this and this and this. Naturally in the court, the question will be, if he was ordering all of this, was there no like red flag? How can a man be sitting in America and ordering these things? No red flag. You can let him receive everything. And then after he kills, you say, yeah, we were following him from before. You'll always see this, that our eyes were on him. Where your eyes was? You had eyes on him, but he was able to order so much, they wanted it to happen. They wanted it to happen. And when it starts, how they go in, with what force. But what they expect, the result, that result doesn't come. They entered Afghanistan with what a force. Their desire was, the army of Islam must never survive. They knew very well of the minerals of Afghanistan. They already started giving out contracts. Lot of contracts. There was a lot of things in Afghanistan. Because the army of Islam, it must not stand. The minerals of the land will last the world for years. Platinum. They knew the need of platinum in the world. When it was going to come, it was going to be in their hands. What can a group in Afghanistan do against the mightiest powers of the world? They brought the whole world with them. But the result they never expected. How when they left Afghanistan? Now how it burns them when they see that army parading? How it burns them? And that army parades with their weapons, with their clothing, with their tanks. How it burns them? The war of Gaza also, on the beginning days you could see the enemy behind it. How blind they became, how they opened the doors, how there were so many people that they said dead later on when you asked them, where's those children? They said, oh, we can't find them. Or maybe someone lied. So how can someone lie about this? You're speaking about children being killed, heads being taken out. Where you saw it? All was planned. To get the world to be ready that we're going for this attack. And they went. But what they expected already we can see, they're not getting that result. What they expected. Abraha came in with an army. He came in with an army of elephants. When you have elephants, you don't even need foot soldiers. You need nothing because the Arabs had never seen elephants. So the camels were getting scared of the elephants. So we can forget your camel running towards the enemy. The camel is now running with you away. There's no way you can win. Few people tried to fight Abraha's army. They gave up. The one person who was the eyewitness to this whole thing, they were going to kill him. Finally, he agreed to show them the route right to Makkah Mukarramah. But he was not happy at all. And with him, there was another hypocrite. He came to them, up to them, and he said, I offer my service, I'll take you. And the other one was kept, captive. So they said, show us the way. By force, he was showing them the way. As he's going, he doesn't want. He is the eyewitness. He's the only one who survived. He was the one who would tell the Arabs that I reach a certain point and the elephant which is in front can't move further. The elephant just stops. He was the only eyewitness. Otherwise there's no way we would have known what happened on that day. One eyewitness. He sees the elephant stopping. He sees the people hitting the elephant, poking the elephant. But the elephant will not move. They move it in another direction, it moves another direction, but towards the Kaaba, that elephant is not going. He says, I'm in front because I'm the guide, like I'm in front of the elephant. But the elephant is not moving. And he says, while we're looking at that elephant, stubborn elephant, we see in the distance birds. He says, they cover that, like you cover the sun practically. Day becomes night. Because it's just Everyone looks up that, what happened to the sun? You just see birds and birds. And as everyone was looking at that, he says, I found the chance to run. And I start running towards the mountains. I start running. And no one's interested in me because they're screaming already because birds are dropping. But when they were dropping these stones, it was an amazing thing that the stone was not killing anyone. The stone was falling in the body, burning the body, stinging the body. But no one was dying. Had Allah Tabarakala wanted, it would have been like bullets. The bullet falls, you die immediately. They were not dying. They were being blasted with the stones. So naturally you start running. As the elephants started running, they start trampling many. Many die under the elephants. So it's not sudden death, it's painful death. As for the riders, that stone that goes into the body starts opening up, bursting. So inside the man starts feeling, the pain starts from the inside. They say people who live longer rotted from the inside. As they were on the elephant, body parts were falling. Flesh was coming out from holes. That hole which was made by that pebble, flesh is coming out. People were like collapsing on the sides. Another person thinking of helping him can't. His body is also in pain. One is you just die. One is you trying to run. So they're saying to the person, show us the way back home. Show us the way back home. And he says in his poetry, I'm already at the top of the mountain. And from the top of the mountain, he's looking at this entire scene. An entire army being defeated. أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ Allah Tabarakala said they had a kaid. Kaid means they had their own conspiracy. It was a made up things. They wanted the Arabs to fight against them, to trouble them, so that they could tell the world why we went to war against the Arabs. They wanted the trade route. Allah Tabarakala said, did we not make their plot, fi tadlil, give the opposite result? Balal means you're thinking, you're walking in one direction, you're walking in the other. It gave the opposite result. وَرَسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلٍ Allah Tabarakala said, and he sent upon them birds. Birds in flocks, ababil flocks. Many people today saying, where are those birds? Those birds are the very mujahids we are seeing fighting the enemy today. They are those birds. Allah Tabarakala in the past used animals for the protection of his deen. He used angels for the protection of his deen. Then came this ummah. This ummah, even in the beginning battles, where it was necessary for the angels to come, Allah Tabarakala in Quran says, and when I sent my angels, thousands of my angels, I only sent them to make it easy, but you had to fight. I only sent them to make it easy for you, but I wanted you to fight. So few times the angels cut one person's neck, hit another person. And in the war that's taking place today, the day stories will come out, incidents will come out. You will hear miracles that the people saw in the first era of Islam. They will say, we saw those miracles in this era also. The aid of the angels. But in this ummah, Allah did not want Jibreel to come and scream. Allah Tabarakala wanted how small birds defeated the mighty armies. There will be small mujahids who will defeat the mighty armies of kufr. And that's what's happening and has happened. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ They will be firing on them with stones. That bird so small. And the weapon of the bird is small stone. But behind that stone was the command of Allah. That command, فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَعْقُولٍ Allah Tabarakala says, He made the enemy like the eaten up grass after the cow is finished with it. It ate what it wanted to eat. It stamped on what it wanted to stamp on. Now the cow has gone somewhere else. You go to that area, you say, once upon a time, this was so green. Once upon a time. Once upon a time. Go into the lands where the enemies entered and they had to run out. Go into the lands. When they'll take you into the forts of the enemy, you will say, once upon a time, this thing was so smart. Now you'll see holes. You'll see walls broken. They say one bomb went off here, another bomb went off there. We got in through that hole there. Now that whole thing became like how the cow just stamped on it. As you ask, where's the enemy? Hey, the enemy is gone, forgotten. You say, how did you defeat them? They would say, well, that were small bullets, small guns, small people. They were mighty in tanks. They were in their armor. They had such weapons. We had nothing. Wherever Islam showed its days of victory, and we will see it again. Whenever someone will ask, and with what weapons did you defeat the enemy? And they will say, ours was nothing compared to theirs. But behind the Muslims is always the command of Almighty Allah. And very soon, inshallah, the world will start seeing the results of that. We have started the first chapter, which is called the War of Gaza. It started the chapter. May Allah Tawarakala make it as the pages continue opening. You will see miracles of the quwwat, the power of Islam. Allah Tawarakala in His kindness also allow us to have a share in the lifting up of the flag of Islam high in the world. Sallallahu ala nabiyyil kareem.